So you may have noticed the UCLA men, women, and the Michigan men, all world, thus ending another season of March Madness. Let's go. There is a phrase you will hear around basketball courts a lot. People will talk about a forgiving rim. That means when you shoot the basketball, sometimes there's a little play or give in the rim that helps the ball go through the net. Now, the opposite of a forgiving rim is, not surprisingly, an unforgiving rim. And that means the ball just off that rigid basketball rim. Your shot has to be almost perfect to go through an unforgiving rim. And let me tell you, every basketball player I've ever known is praying for a forgiving rim.
Yep.
Now, places like basketball rims. Some are very forgiving and some are not. This acknowledge that we all have feet of generosity of spirit in the way people relate to one another. Places a welcome mat is rolled out for everyone and everyone feels accepted and welcomed. You can breathe in a forgiving place. Then there are other places that are very censorious. You hold your breath every time you go there, worrying that you might make some mistake. And in such environments, people are often criticized severely, sometimes even humiliated. And no doubt that's what leads many abused students to become school shooters, alas. Their humiliation turns to anger and fury. That's what happens in an unforgiving place. Now, the church at its very best is a forgiving place. Now, of course, we know what the church can be at its worst. But in its finest moments, the church celebrates a God who in Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and reconciliation. Every Sunday that we are in need of God's grace and mercy. We offer our spoken and silent confessions of sin. We sing the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy upon us. Then we hear the amazing good news that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. And finally, we sing the glory. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Did y'all know that that's one of my favorite moments? We do this every Sunday because we live by God's grace alone, not by our righteousness. Every Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer with this petition: forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is never just an individual matter for me alone. It's always extended to others. Freely we have received, freely we give. And that's why we pass the peace of Christ among each other, to symbolize that forgiveness and that reconciliation. Sometimes we even hear sermons about forgiveness, like this morning. It's all to remind us what kind of community we should always be. The church at its best is a forgiving place. In the Gospel of John, we read of the church's foundational moment, that Easter evening in a locked room. John blends together, you might say, Easter and Pentecost, at least for the disciples. Jesus suddenly appears and shows them his hands and his side. But he greets them like this: peace be with you. The peace of Christ is an offer of a restored relationship, an offer of reconciliation. The one that they had deserted and betrayed offers them forgiveness and a new chance and the right hand of fellowship. He offers to them yet again a new possibility. And so the disciples are beside themselves with joy and gratitude. And now the Spirit of Christ will inspire them to offer that same forgiveness to the whole world. Whatever you forgive will be forgiven. Sinners all, see this good news as what it really is, astonishing, marvelous in our eyes. And grace changes our life and it changes our outlook. As a good friend of mine used to say, acceptance precedes change. To be radically accepted moves you into a new dimension. Now, this magnificent Easter evening of reconciliation, I think, teaches us two great and important truths. First, this scene shows us that forgiveness is never cheap. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer taught us, it is always costly grace. It costs Jesus his life, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it cost us a great deal of spiritual energy to offer forgiveness to others. Forgiveness does not come naturally or easily to any of us. Rather, resentment and a desire for revenge comes very easily to us. And that's why we need the Spirit of Christ within us to actually offer pardon, real forgiveness to other people. We cannot do this on our own, sisters and brothers. It's a gift from God that we share with those who may have offended us or hurt us in some deeply personal ways. It's always costly grace to offer forgiveness. And secondly, this Easter evening scene shows us that forgiveness requires something of us. Even as we forgive, we cannot overlook that someone has been hurt. Grace implies judgment, the judgment that something has been done wrong. Take, for instance, the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. A woman has been caught in adultery. Did the man run off? Was he ever caught? We don't know. Now, Jesus has been consulted. And first, he shames the accusers. Indeed, their would-be executioners. Then Jesus stands alone before this woman. And he says to her, "I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more." So Jesus offers us her complete forgiveness. And then he charges her to transform her lifestyle. Go and sin no more. This is the judgment of grace. A full and free pardon coupled with a call to conversion. So forgiveness is always a challenge to us to change our behavior, to change our attitude. It's frustrating, as you know, that when forgiveness is offered, sometimes there seems to be no transformation. The theologian Gregory Jones deals with this issue in an excellent book called Embodying Forgiveness. This is what he says, a wonderful quote. "For Christians, judgment aims at grace, and grace is a form of judgment. This judgment of grace aims at transformation, a change in the recipient. The judgment of grace calls, 'Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more.'" So forgiveness is a kind of divine no on thoughts and words and deeds that separate us from God and from others. All the things that hurt others and even hurt ourselves. And forgiveness is also a divine yes on the new life offered us in Jesus Christ. It is a no on the past and a yes to the future. So when you ask for forgiveness, realize that you're simultaneously asking to be transformed. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I am reminded of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission set up by Bishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa after the racist apartheid system had been dismantled. What really happened in that tortured country? Once people confessed their wrong, they were offered forgiveness. Plus, they were asked to make a commitment to an inclusive and just multiracial society of the future. Forgiveness offered and a resolve to change. That was the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So this is what Easter evening teaches us. When Jesus offers his peace to his disciples and later to Thomas, it was a precious moment of forgiveness and reconciliation. But Christ's forgiveness is costly because forgiveness calls us to repentance and to change. History of American Christianity, written by Martin Marty, entitled Pilgrims in Our Land. Marty tells of a Creek tribe in what is now Georgia and Alabama, long before Columbus set foot in America, had ways to ensure a just and healthy society. Whenever someone hurt another member of the tribe, they knew that justice was needed and accountability. So offenders were often ostracized from the tribe for as much as a whole year. But then the offenders were restored to the community every fall during what they called the Green Corn Dance. And during that dance, the priests would light fires to signal a new beginning for the community. The men and women slept apart during this great festival. Everyone danced and worshiped to their ancestral gods and spirits, and a communal act of reverence and celebration shared by everyone. Then the priest asked everyone to sip from a bitter herbal drink that induced vomiting. It symbolized the purged spirit of the whole community being rid of the evil among them. Then at the climax of the Green Corn, all the offenders who had done wrong were free to come out from the bushes and rejoin their community, where they were welcomed with joy. The past was forgiven and forgotten. All were welcomed back except accountability, repentance, forgiveness, and a renewed commitment to the community. The Creek tribe understood that forgiveness was costly. Everyone involved practiced sexual abstinence. Everyone sipped of that bitter herb to be purged. And everyone understood that wrongdoers would not be welcomed back to the Green Corn Dance. Time spent apart was for introspection and hopefully for change. Everyone understood that costly nature of forgiveness and the requirement of transformation. Now, the risen Christ will appear to his disciples, and he will offer them a restored relationship, even to Thomas, who could not believe what his friends told him. He offers them peace, and he offers them forgiveness, and he sends them into the world to proclaim the forgiveness of sins and the good news of Jesus Christ. And he calls us to repentance and change. Brothers and sisters, the church is a forgiving place where everyone is welcome. It's also a place to call you transformation and change. So remember the words of Jesus. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Transformative grace, costly grace. That's the promise of Easter evening here in a forgiving place. Thanks be to God. Amen.